Our study in the Epistle of James. Let's open to the third chapter. Let's open our Bibles to the third chapter of the Epistle of James. Just as review, last time we were talking about the evilness of our tongue. It says, God holds teachers more accountable for the words that they speak. We spoke of how the tongue is a small object, but can influence huge events in our life. We looked at the tongue like a bit in a horse's mouth, a small bit that controls the whole horse. We looked at the tongue like a small rudder in a big boat. That small rudder controls the whole boat. We looked at the tongue like a small flame that does great damage and starts a huge fire. We saw that no one can tame their own tongue with their own strength. And only by the grace of God, only with His help, can we tame our tongue. In the next section that we're going to look at today, James sort of goes out of the topic of our tongue and our speech, and he talks about wisdom. Martin Luther, the reformer of the Protestant Church, said these words one time. If you young fellows were wise, the devil couldn't do anything to you. But since you aren't wise, you need us who are old. If you young fellows were wise. It is kind of hard to talk about wisdom when you yourself is young and you still don't have a lot of experience in life. But there's something intriguing about the word wisdom. When we hear the word wisdom, we right away think of something intriguing. It catches our attention. Everyone wants to have wisdom. And maybe it's intriguing because we can't really give a full definition for the word wisdom. What is wisdom? The basic Webster's definition of wisdom is this: knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. In other words, the more experiences you have in your life, the wiser you will be. I don't know if I can agree with Webster. The natural ability to understand things that most other people cannot understand. A natural ability. Things that most other people cannot understand. That means that wisdom is not attainable by every single person. And I don't know if that's true either. Knowledge of what is proper or reasonable. Good sense of judgment. I would say that judges have a good sense of judgment, but are they always wise? The biblical definition of wisdom is different. What is wisdom? Wisdom in the Bible is not only theoretical, but is very practical. A person can know a lot of information, a lot of different theories and ideas, but can lack the ability to put those theories into practice in our own lives. Biblical wisdom has two parts to it. One is theoretical. That is, we must know how to act properly. And the other one is practical. And that is, we must actually do the things that we know that are right. A person that has wisdom receives new information and puts this information into use in his own life. What is the source of biblical wisdom? Where does it come from? The Bible tells us that the ultimate source of wisdom is God. He is the creator of wisdom. He himself has that wisdom. With wisdom, he created our universe. With wisdom, he created every single planet in our solar system. With wisdom, he created our planet. With wisdom, he created animals and plants. With wisdom, he created the climates that change. With wisdom, he created the human being. God is the ultimate source of wisdom. So how does a person gain wisdom? How can a person have access to that wisdom? If God is the source of wisdom, how do we try to attain it? Wisdom is a gift from God. It cannot be learned just through personal experiences of life. It cannot be taught only by simple teachings. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When a person becomes obedient to God, when he becomes submissive to the authority of God, God gives him wisdom as a gift. Every single person has the possibility of getting this God's gift, God's wisdom. It doesn't mean you have to be smart or intelligent. God gives the ability to know His Word and to put the Word into practice in every single one of our lives. The Bible says that God lays wisdom inside a human heart. Not in the mind of the person, but in the heart. The heart is the center of our decision making. That is where we make decisions. In Luke chapter 6, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. Out of our hearts come good thoughts, and out of our hearts come evil thoughts. In our heart lies both pride and humility. In our heart lies both peace and anxiety. The Bible says that our heart is the dwelling place of God. We're used to saying this phrase, accepting Jesus into your heart. And theoretically, that is correct. Our heart is the center of our being in God. And God chooses our heart as His dwelling place in our lives. So looking at the two different definitions of wisdom, we see that there's a big gap. We see that Webster's definition is different from the biblical definition. And that is because there's two different types of wisdom. One is of this world, worldly wisdom. And the other comes from above as a gift from God. Let us read James 3:13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Who among you is wise and understanding, let him show by his good behavior and his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. James starts this section with a rhetorical question. Who among you is wise and understanding? In other words, for those who think they are wise, show your wisdom in your good behavior and in your good deeds. James reaffirms the fact that wisdom is not only theoretical. Wisdom is not the amount of information a person knows or is studying. It is not the amount of books a person reads. Although God could be using books to put wisdom in your heart. But books don't guarantee our practical wisdom in our life. Wisdom is not one really smart decision in our lives. When a person decides to go to school and he chooses a school, we say to him, that is a wise decision. But wisdom is not merely one act in our lives, one big decision. Wisdom is seen in our daily activities of the person, in his daily doings, in his routine life. And especially, it is seen in his relationships with other people. People in school, people in work, and people in our church. It is seen in the good behavior of the person. He says an interesting statement. He says, gentleness of wisdom. When we hear the word wisdom, we don't automatically think gentleness, do we? That is not the first word that comes to our mind when we speak of wisdom. When we hear the word wisdom, we think smart, clever, probably someone older of age, someone with some life experience, someone who is sharp. We do not think of the word gentleness when we think of wisdom. We don't really use those two words together. What does it mean to have gentleness of wisdom? Another word for gentleness here is the Greek language, in the Greek language is humility. To have humility, to have meekness, a low view of oneself. James is saying, if you are wise, show that you are wise with humility and with humbleness, with gentleness toward other people. Not proving what is right, not arguing of what your point is, but with gentleness and humility. In the next few verses, we see he's talking about the two different types of wisdom. The first is the earthly wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. He starts with the words, but if you have. He's asking the reader of this epistle to analyze his life. What kind of wisdom do you have? What is the root of your wisdom? Is it humbleness and gentleness? Is it wisdom that brings benefit to others? Is it to edify the church? Is it to bring unity, or is it to bring bitter jealousy and selfish ambition? The word that Apostle James uses for the word jealousy is not a bad word in itself. It is actually the word zeal, to have a good zeal for something. A lot of times this word is used in a good sense, to have a zeal for good works, to have a zeal for God. But James is talking of bitter zeal, as in you have great energy and you have great eagerness and a great desire to get that wisdom, but it's all for the wrong reasons. It is not to bring benefit to other people. In fact, it is out of selfish ambition. Ambition is when you work hard to work for your own goals. And you say everything for your own good. The zeal and ambition that is in your heart is centered on yourself. I think the word selfish in the statement says everything about this. You are centering your wisdom on yourself. You might be saying a lot of good things, a lot of proper words. You might be achieving great levels of knowledge, but that does not make you wise. Apostle James says, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Apostle James started this chapter with talking to teachers. He said, let not many of you become teachers. He's still talking to the teachers. He's saying, the things that you are teaching are going against the truth because you are teaching all these things not out of humbleness and not out of gentleness, but with selfish jealousy and selfish ambition. You might be saying the truth. You might be teaching about the truth. But is the truth that you are speaking present in your life? Are you teaching others with the desire to benefit them? Or are you just trying to prove yourself right? It says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and even demonic. This wisdom is not from God. It does not come from God. And the source of this wisdom is of this earth. It is not based on the things above. It is based on these temporary things that we have around us. Everything on this earth will one day come to an end. And the wisdom that you have is based on these temporary things. He says this wisdom is also natural, pertaining to our sinful nature. Any one of us is capable of attaining this earthly wisdom. In fact, our bodies, our sinful natures are prone to having this sort of wisdom and not the one from above. There's a lot of people in this world that are striving to achieve this wisdom. And thousands of people are giving their whole life to the study of earthly wisdom. Every time you try to speak to a smart philosophical person, maybe a professor, he says that he doesn't want to hear anything about God. It says that's the source of worldly wisdom is the earth. He says that it is in our sinful nature. And lastly, it is under the authority of evil spirits. It is demonic. We hardly ever see this word in Scripture. When we think of the word demonic, we think of something so far away, something mystical, and something somewhere far away from us. We don't think that demonic or evil powers can be in the wisdom. Meanwhile, there's thousands of people that are led astray from the truth by this evil power today. To prove yourself, to distinguish yourself from others. People are becoming blind and hardening their hearts. James ends this part with earthly wisdom with a statement. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Where this type of wisdom exists, there is always disorder. There is always evil thoughts. There is no peace. There is no good conversations. There is no good relationships. There is no fellowship. There is always a person trying to argue. And then there's always a person that gets hurt. This is not the wisdom which we are to strive for. In the next verses, James presents to us the wisdom that is of God, the wisdom that comes from above. Let's read the next few verses. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. Wisdom from above is first pure. It is without any moral defect, without defilement, without any sort of evil craftiness. Another word for the word pure here is holy. It is holy wisdom. It is set apart from this world. It is set apart from the earthly wisdom. It is set apart from our sinful thinking. Notice that all the other words that follow pertain to our relationships to other people. It says it is peaceable. That is, this wisdom strives to make peace among other people. Maybe you see a person that doesn't have that peace. Maybe there's unrest in a family. The wisdom that is from above will try to bring peace into that situation. It says it is gentle. In other words, it is generous. It is considerate of others. This is an interesting one. It is reasonable, easily persuaded. It is willing to change. It is full of mercy. This sort of wisdom has pity for other people. This sort of wisdom has compassion for other people. It says it produces good fruits in our life. It is unwavering. That means it's impartial. It doesn't show favor toward one group of people or the other one. And finally, it says, without hypocrisy. It is genuine. It is not fake. It is not made up. It is sincere. This wisdom that comes from above is focused on other people. The people that are around us every single day, in our homes, at school, at work, and in our church. This wisdom is given from God for us to act with compassion and purity towards other people. To be genuine with other people. To know how to bring peace for the people that need peace. To show mercy to those that need to feel the love that we have. God made His church out of a lot of different people. And He made relationships so fragile. They're like glass. With one wrong sentence, a relationship can shatter. And it's so hard to rebuild a relationship. Just last week, we were talking with brothers that went on a missionary trip. And we all said that it's so easy to preach to people that don't know you. It is so easy to preach to people that don't know your life. But it is so hard to preach in your own church, in your own family, next to your friends. James ends this section with the words, "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." He brings our attention to the theory of the seed and the harvest. A person reaps what he sows. Are we sowing righteousness and peace among other people? Or are we sowing disorder and unrest? Do people around us enjoy our company because we are understanding and caring? Or are we lying against the truth by saying one thing and doing another? James is calling us to wisdom that sows peace in our relationships with others. Not only to know a lot of good information. We can know a lot of different things. We can be really knowledgeable, but have no fruit in our life. He's calling us not to strive to be smarter than other people and be centered on ourselves with selfish jealousy and ambition, but to have that wisdom to care for the other people around us, to notice people around us who are in need. That wisdom is a gift from God. And every single one of us needs that wisdom. Every person in our church is in need of this special wisdom. So what do we do to attain it? And that's the best part, is that it is a gift. You don't have to work hard to get a gift from God. You have to desire it with your heart. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the ultimate source of wisdom. He can give wisdom to those who desire that wisdom. You don't have to be a special smart person to have this wisdom in our relationships with other people. And we read earlier in the same epistle, Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 5. "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, that it will be given to him." It says, he gives generously, without reproach. Every single one of us needs God's wisdom in our families to act in the right way towards our parents, and act in the right way towards our kids, to act in the right way against the people that we work with. It is interesting how God made the church such a big body of different people. And it's so easy to break a relationship. And God's wisdom is not something that is so far away and we can't attain it even when we're young. It is something that He gives as a gift to everyone that asks, so we can build good relationships, sincere relationships, genuine relationships. Right now we have the ability to pray before Him and ask for this wisdom. That is how easy it is attained. Just to have that desire before Him and just to pray to Him and say, "I want that wisdom." Let's pray. Amen.